Hey, welcome to the podcast. It is the Friday podcast. Don't want you to forget, tomorrow's podcast is Justice History Bender. It's a guy who you may or may not know, but he had more hits than Elvis in the 1950s. He was a bigger name than Elvis in the 1950s. And had a career up until the Beatles came in. He talks about the Beatles and what that was like. He has done and seen everything. His name is Pat Boone, and the podcast is tomorrow. And if you don't know who he is, or you think, he's an old guy, it doesn't matter, you won't believe this podcast.
Yeah, it's an amazing kind of journey through all musical history, basically.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. And that's tomorrow's podcast, and you can get that wherever you're downloading your podcast. And also, don't forget that Steven Crowder had an amazing show. He returned back to Blaze TV. You can find out by subscribing to blazetv.com/Beck. Use the promo code Beck. You're going to save $10 on it, but make sure you watch it. It's a great episode. Back after a month, and he explains why he was gone on Louder with Crowder on blazetv.com/Beck.
So today, it was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff kind of breaking today. We talked to Bill O'Reilly for his scheduled hour every week.
Oh, was that agonizing?
Well, Bill's always, he's just curmudgeon at this point.
He really is.
And he doesn't
really
like putting up with
today
our nonsense. And I understand that. But we talked to him for a while about all the new developments when it comes to the White House. Also, we talked about the March for Life and what do Americans really think about abortion. I think that's really shocking to most people.
It's really shocking. You lay out the numbers on that. Also, Trump's letter to Pelosi and the border shutdown. What does that mean for Donald Trump? We talked to Pat Gray about that.
And on the border, we had both sides of the border. First of all, we talked to an angel mom whose son was killed by an illegal immigrant. He'd been deported multiple times, and he killed her son as a drunk driver. A terrible, tragic story.
It was his third DWI.
And then on the other side, we talked to a woman who had just finished bringing her husband from Mexico legally through the legal citizenship process. It took them a decade, and they're thrilled that they went through it the right way.
Thrilled. Yeah. She actually said it shouldn't be made easier, which I disagree with, but that's amazing. All on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Patriot Mobile is a phone service that will give you all of the great coverage that you want. They're just not going to take the money from you and then invest that in causes that you don't believe in, like Planned Parenthood. Patriot Mobile actually is going to let you invest your money into the causes that you believe in. But most of these cell companies, they give all kinds of money to crazy, crazy causes that you work hard against.
It's true. Why do that? You can go with Patriot Mobile. They were created to solve that problem. They're the only conservative cell phone company in America. Go to patriotmobile.com/blaze. Get started today. When you use the offer code blaze, they're going to waive the activation fee for up to two lines. patriotmobile.com/blaze or 1-800-A-PATRIOT is the place to go.
Okay, there's some important news breaking about Donald Trump. We'll get to here in just a second. We do not have a lot to say about it, and that is the most important thing we could say about it. And I want to explain why that should be your attitude today. All right. First, let me tell you about, some really, really important stuff. I mean, there's the government shutdown. Oh, my gosh. What's going to happen with Nancy Pelosi? Which, by the way, do we have that letter to Nancy Pelosi from Donald Trump? Because I need to read it on the air in case you've missed it. Because it is, happy days are here again. It's what we were all promised when we said to each other, I don't know about policy, but it'll be fun. The fun is just getting started with his letter to Nancy Pelosi. Okay, so we have the horrible government shutdown. We have the Mueller probe. We have all kinds of stuff. What we need is a really big cultural icon to come in and tell us what we need to do and think about all of these things. And when I say, I mean really big cultural icon, I mean, that's got to be like, what, the Pope? No. Noam Chomsky. No.
Chomsky.
How about Beto? Maybe he could be the doctor. No. It's not even that.
No?
No. We don't even have a convict. Lower. Think lower. What we have for you is a former stripper who's now a rapper who raps things as the queen of rap. Who raps things that I are usually fourth grade level understanding of the world. Okay, that's our cultural icon that is now rhyming her way into our world to tell us what we should do about the world and politics.
I wish there was a way we could just preemptively assign our votes to them. Like, if we could just, if there was a program maybe the government could run, they'd have a list of celebrities, and then you just turn your vote over to the celebrity, and they'd multiply the celebrity's vote by whatever, however many were turned into them. It would save us so much time. We wouldn't have to listen to this news. Just let them vote for us.
Well, I mean, I like that, but I have to see a picture, too, because I have to see the green eyeshadow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have to see that. I have to see the lovely nails. That are being done, because then I can trust that they know what's going on geopolitically.
It's usually the nails that put me over the edge as well.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, for some reason, television last night, it was like a Cardi B swarm. And we had this great finger snapping routine that was.
I'm glad you acted it out.
Thank you very much. Did it make you comfortable?
Oh, very comfortable. Yes.
Okay. It makes my kids comfortable.
They like it.
Oh my gosh. They love it. For some reason or another, when I describe it as a punishment that if you don't do as you're supposed to, dad's going to take you, to school and I'm going to just stand out in front and just kind of do some dad dancing.
Show a little sass.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Show a little sass. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the political equivalent of a broken toilet plunger last night expressed a widely held that you don't ever see on TV or from, you know, from somebody in liberal Hollywood or entertainment, an anti-President Trump point of view.
You're kidding me.
No, I didn't think they existed.
They found someone who doesn't like Donald Trump.
Yeah,
that's
Cardi
a celebrity.
B.
Oh, Cardi B.
Cardi B. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So she called half the country racist, which again I haven't heard that. And then she just took her courage and said, "I'm going to take it right to the people. I'm going to tweet this. I'm going to Facebook this. And I hope somebody in the mainstream media has the courage to play it over and over again. And boy, who would have seen it coming? They did.
You're kidding me.
No, they did it.
Really?
They did it. They did it.
They.
Cardi B. She laid it all out. She was like, look, this is what's happening with the government right now.
Right.
And this is what's happening with the racist people in America. And they don't care about all of these poor workers that have jobs with the government. And it's got to stop.
Mm. That was your sass again.
Well, yeah, I can't do the Cardi B sass, but she was sassy and very profane.
Yes, that's kind of her. Yeah. That's kind of her shtick.
Is it? Yeah,
it is. It is.
Well, usually you don't get that from your finer strippers.
You know, that's a good point.
Yeah,
it's interesting that it seems like, and this is just an observation. I don't have. I will say I do not have the academic full study to back this, but it's just an observation.
Okay.
I've noticed that when a stripper is able to achieve a different, you know, like enter into another career, like this in this case, rap,
like,
right? But it could
like,
be anything.
Like rapping while rhyming. I mean, sorry, like rhyming while stripping.
Right.
Okay.
When they find a different career, something as diverse and disparate as those two careers.
Right. They go from stripping
right.
to just rhyming naked.
And also leaving like one 1/1000th of the normal clothing that people wear on. So you're still minorly clothed.
You're right. But that's totally different than stripping.
Totally different than stripping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess my point is that I think it's interesting that when you are a stripper and then you change careers, rarely do you go back to stripping. There's not really a lot of people who go back and say, you know, I kind of like this one better. Most people decide that, you know, I'm going to stick with this new thing that I'm doing.
So what is your point here?
What is my point? I just said it was an observational study. There's not a point. That's not what you do with an observational study. I'm pointing out an observation. It just seems like the people who go and they choose this one career path and then get another option choose typically the second option in most cases. I don't know why. I can't think of a reason why. We all know that's a wonderful career.
Are you trying to discredit the art of stripping?
Why would you even say that? I just said this is science, man.
You said this was an observation.
It's an observational study. That's how science starts. You start with observational study. You start escalating it up to double blind and to meta analysis, and you go the whole process.
No, science doesn't start with facts. It starts with a thesis. I saw another bunny head on that bunny. That bunny will have the ability to look behind and front. Well, that's not science, man. That's you know what that is?
What's that?
Bunny racism. And I'm hearing stripper racism from you. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing you don't like strippers. You somehow or another are trying to discredit Cardi B. Is it because she's black or is it because she's a stripper? Which one is it?
It's neither one of those. I'm just like listening to her analysis and thinking perhaps it's not astute. Perhaps it's not astute. Though she says so many words so quickly, I can't really tell. Maybe it is. An incredible point. Maybe she's unearthing a major investigation against Donald Trump.
Say it this way. Mm-hmm. Say it this way. Maybe you'll convince more people. Maybe she's unearthed a major investigation.
Was that the sass again?
Yeah, it was the little...
A dash of sass.
Yeah, you
will just...
snap your fingers like, well, you know what? President Trump is President Trump.
And then you seem to be shaking your head a little bit.
Just a little bit. You know, you say things and then you. You know what? That bunny can look both behind and in front. And now it's true.
Okay. I'm going to work on that one.
Okay.
But I'm going to work on it in private. I'm not going to work on it on a national television and radio show. That's one place I'm not going to work on that one.
Are you saying...
I'm saying... You know what I'm saying.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Bill O'Reilly, welcome, sir.
It's me. Here I am.
Okay. Yay!
Beautiful.
It's Bill.
Beautiful entrance.
Riley.
Graceful. Humble. Bill, I want to talk to you about one story... But I want you to know, before you go off on a tirade, my opinion on this is there is no need to speculate, because if people speculate and they bring up stuff all the time and it turns out to be absolutely untrue and it's a waste of our time, a waste of our energy, and does nothing positive. However, I want to give the story to you and ask you, if this evidence exists, is this a big deal? BuzzFeed is coming out. BBC is reporting as well today that Donald Trump instructed Cohen to lie to Congress about his business dealings in Russia. BuzzFeed says, while they have not seen the evidence, which is kind of a big caveat here, they have not seen the evidence. They have two investigators on the case that have verified that they have more than one witness on this, and they have backup emails. If all of those things exist, and that's a huge if, is that enough to impeach Donald Trump? Does he survive that?
All right. I have a few questions before I analyze this. Okay.
All right.
Is this before or after Trump became a spy for Russia?
No. Wait. I know. That's why I'm not putting any credence in this. We haven't spent any time on this. We haven't spent any time on this today.
But do we know from BuzzFeed whether it's before or after he signed on as a spy for Putin? Do we know?
So now see, this is why we don't speculate, because that's not doing any good. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to smear Donald Trump.
Last week at this time, the New York Times had Trump as a spy for Russia. Okay? So now
Wait. The New York Times did not have that he was a spy. They said that the FBI looked in to see if he was a spy. And quite honestly, I think everyone, I mean, I would have done that for anyone who the whispers were around. FBI, check it out, put it down. One way or another, put it down.
On MSNBC and CNN, he was a spy.
I know, I know. Well, that's why we don't listen to them.
So, Bill, is the appropriate no spin?
We listen to BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed. So, Bill, is the appropriate no spin position here to basically say, look, if it's real, it'll be in the Mueller report. We'll all see it together, and we can actually see the evidence when it comes out.
Right. That's what. That's our position. Is that your position?
Right. See, if it's real that Donald Trump counterfeited $80 million worth of money, I think you impeach him. And this is what I mean. You have an industry that is simply devoted to putting out on a regular basis the worst stuff they can hear, come up with, or anything about Donald Trump. They don't have to check it. All I have to do is someone.
Okay, I'm not talking, Bill. I'm not talking about the media.
I'm going to go into your theoretical in a moment.
Because I don't. If it's just even Michael Cohen and he swears on a stack of Bibles and he's sitting on a throne of Bibles, I don't care. The guy's a liar, so I don't buy it. I'm saying, if this evidence does exist, will it matter?
Yeah, it would matter. But before you get into the theoretical,
I know, not the real,
all right, you have to prime the audience to understand what's happening, that this is every hour on the hour.
Sure. Right. And that's why we have.
Now we'll get into the theoretical, because that's desperately what you and Stu want to do. I got it.
We want you to tell us exactly what needs to be done, Bill. Right. That's what we want.
Okay. What needs to be done is a healthy dose of skepticism about BuzzFeed, the New York Times, and all of these agencies that are in business to smear Trump and anybody who...
100% agreement.
I think 100% skepticism is fine here.
Now, Trump,
because we know what's coming out,
basically has said very clearly that he had no business dealings directly with Russia, and he didn't collude with Russia in any way to influence the election.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly has said that.
Mm-hmm.
So you stay there. That's where he said. Can't go back on it.
Agree.
Can't spin it. That's where he is.
Got it.
So, of course, if he told his attorney, hey, you commit perjury and don't tell him about X, whatever X may be, and the Russian thing that we did, all right, that we had caviar at the Russian tea room, you don't tell him that, all right?
Right.
No. And then Cohen has a memo.
I don't think Donald Trump is... He's not a stupid guy. There's no way they have a paper trail of something like that.
Right. He's not a stupid guy, and he's got a lot of attorneys that are advising him in this. So when I see these reports, I just basically don't even cover them on BillO'Reilly.com. I don't even cover them. All right. And I go for the bigger picture. But to answer your question, it's a legitimate question. If Trump did anything like that, then he will be impeached. Convicted? Not sure. You'd have to see what the memo said or any of that. But yeah, he's in trouble.
Okay. All right. Let's go. Let me just say this, because this is the only time I'm going to address this on the show today or until we get evidence. I think that Americans need to decide whether if a president, any president, says, hey, listen, this is the deal, and you're going to go in front of Congress, and I don't want you to tell the truth in front of Congress. If that is provable and it's real evidence.
Suborning perjury.
Perjury.
Right?
It is. If that happened.
It's a crime.
Yeah, that's a crime, and it is impeachable. I don't care if Jesus, well, he wouldn't do that, but if it was Jesus as the president.
And misdemeanor.
Correct. However, I don't think that anyone should be talking about. We shouldn't be even talking about it now, because how many things have they said that they had on him and they'd end up not having on him? So when they show it to us, then we can talk about it. Let's move on. How is the president? I saw his Hispanic numbers, which Marist is a great polling agency, and you know the margin of error is 3 points. He's taken a 19-point jump with Hispanics in approval in the last 30 to 40 days. That's huge.
Yeah, I don't believe the number. I don't think Marist is a good polling agency any longer. It used to be.
Really?
I saw their poll on abortion, which I thought was much more important. They did a poll on abortion because this weekend is a right to life exposition in Washington, which will get zero coverage in the American media, nothing. And the poll said that I think it was 56% of Americans want restrictions on abortion, including no abortions after 3 months. I don't even know if I believe that. I think that the polling now is stacked in the sense that they have, well, we talked to 1,050 registered voters, but they never stack it evenly. It's always skewed to either, well, it's always skewed left, always.
Well, this in particular is not.
Marist has been wrong a lot lately.
Okay. So you don't buy this good poll for Donald Trump on Hispanics?
No. I don't believe 51% of American Hispanics think Donald Trump's doing a good job. I don't. I'm sorry. And I've got to be I'm an honest broker here. See, I'm not in business to promote any political candidate. I just don't believe. And if you look at the poll, that number is up like, what, 22, 23% in a month?
Yeah, it's weird.
No.
Yeah.
It is weird. And the sample size is 1,024. And so that would make the Hispanic sample about probably under 200.
Yeah. And that means the margin of error is much higher.
Much higher.
Yeah. And I think they went to a Santana concert, didn't they?
I don't know. But
Bill, you mentioned the abortion poll from Marist, which the results of that are pretty interesting. And it's actually the number, when it comes to restricting abortion to only the first trimester or more restrictive, it's 75% of people. Only 15% of people agree with the Democratic Party position of abortion throughout pregnancy, including only one quarter of pro-choice people who identify themselves as pro-choice. Only a quarter of them agree with the Democratic position. What does this tell us?
I'm not sure I believe that poll either, but I do believe that most Americans understand there has to be limit on the destruction of a potential human being. I just think that's so inherently obvious and fair, and I maintain the belief that most Americans are fair-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we're overwhelmed by the unfair media that we're always talking about, BuzzFeed and the New York Times and CNN, and we're overwhelmed by it. But once you get out and talk to the folks themselves with no media filter, you find they are very fair and level-headed.
I think you're right.
So I like that poll in the sense that I think that message has to be debated and has to be put out there. Of course, it will not be put out there. You will not see that poll. Even on Fox News, you're not going to see it. And to me, it's very distressing.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on that poll because I thought it was telling, and I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, when it shows that pro-life, if you will, is overwhelming, with the exception of this one thing of rape and incest and life of the mother, and even that ends after, you know, the first 90 days. You know, after you get to that first trimester, people start to say, you know what, you had a chance, and now I just don't think so. It's almost as if the American people are saying, look, I don't agree with this, but I don't want to judge or hurt people that are in massively painful situations. I don't know what I would do or say to my daughter, you know, if she said, Dad, I was horribly, viciously raped, and every second that this child is inside of me, it's a rape scene again. I know I would say, honey, you will get great blessings for carrying it to term, but I'm not going to disown my daughter or anything else. I mean, it's traumatic. So I'm stuck.
The law is there in all cases to protect the innocent.
Yes.
All right. Everybody should understand that. So Roe v. Wade is law. It's law. And when a woman is raped, all right, she is the innocent victim of a horrible, horrendous crime and should not, by law, be forced to endure more suffering.
However, the innocent, if you're really
that Americans come to,
and that's
and it's a righteous conclusion.
And that's where I am, Bill. But I have this the innocent victim. There's two now. If there is a child, there is another innocent victim. And so I'm at this place, and I think a lot of Americans are. I'm at this place where I say, look, I believe that's life, and I don't believe we have a right to take life. However, I don't want to judge. So I'm in this hypocritical
decision.
Right. I'm in this hypocritical place to where I say it's life, but I don't want to condemn somebody at rape.
Now, there
and
are
interest.
Always extenuating circumstances.
Right.
You don't want to take a life, but if somebody breaks into your house with a weapon, you're going to take their life.
That's a guilty life.
And
yeah,
so
it's a guilty life.
There are always extenuating circumstances.
Yeah. There's a difference there between guilty life and innocent life, right? Like the baby has not done anything. He did not break into a house, right? I mean,
That's true. Mm-hmm. But it's the individual decision of the person in a position to take the action and the law. I'm just talking about the law now. Yeah. I think Beck had that thing, you know, you sit your daughter down or your friend down and you say, look, if you could bear the term, you will be a saint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you will be, you know, in that
greatly
category.
Blessed.
But we're certainly not going to condemn you or force you to do anything.
Bill, let me go to the border, to the government shutdown first. I'm telling you, if Coca-Cola stopped bottling and distributing because of some disagreement and they were no longer putting out Coke products for as long as this government has already been shut down, Americans would be up in arms and say, I don't care, settle it. I want my Coke. Okay. I don't hear that from the American people, and yet the polls show that they are not with this shutdown.
First of all, the American people, all right, of course are not with the shutdown. Who's going to want fellow Americans not getting a paycheck?
Correct.
All right? So, I mean, the polls aren't surprising. We don't like the shutdown.
But Bill, it's not.
But again, if you analyze deeper, you have to make a decision on corruption. Now, that's what's in play in the government shutdown. Corruption. Again, this will never be presented to the people in the media. But the Democrats came in and basically said, and I know this to be true, we're not going to cooperate on anything that President Trump wants. Nothing. We are going to create so much chaos in the House of Representatives that when the vote comes around for re-election to presidency, people will be so tired of it, they'll say, all right, I may not dislike Trump, but I want somebody else because I want to put an end to the chaos.
Yep.
That's the strategy.
Yes, it is.
So when you see what the wall is, the barrier is, and we did this on BillO'Reilly.com. We had a reporter from KUSI in San Diego who covered the wall for 20 years and says, there's no doubt the wall works in the San Diego sector. No doubt. All right. And then the guy provides evidence for it and backs up what the Border Patrol says. And then you turn on cable TV and then the wall doesn't work.
Yeah.
Where people who have never even been to the wall are saying that.
Yeah.
So it's corruption that we're dealing with here in the government shutdown. The Democrats don't want a compromise. Trump would compromise.
He would.
Trump would give him the pathway to citizenship for DACA.
Yeah.
Trump would take four instead of $5.6 billion. But the Democrats won't do anything because their tactic is not to cooperate and get anything done.
Bill O'Reilly is joining us on the program to go over the news of the week. Today is the March for Life. Have you ever spoke at that, Bill?
I don't do political speeches, even though this is an overtly political as far as a party is concerned.
Yeah.
I try not to do that because, as you know, I'm the Yoda of basically telling you what I think is right, and I don't want to be tied into any kind of group.
Yoda's not exactly a spring chicken, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying that you're much, much older than you look...
Did you guys just call Yoda a chicken?
Okay, so well, he tastes like chicken. I'm sorry, I didn't know it was Yoda when I was eating him.
Yeah, you'll have that building surrounded in about 40 seconds.
I know.
If you knew that.
The March for Life is happening today, and put this down on the calendar for I don't know, August of next year. I want to at least attend the March for Life next year. I want to stand clearly with them. The other thing that is happening in Washington is the Women's March, which is absolutely imploding on all of the things that we have said about it from the start. This is not a grassroots thing. This was hijacked by really bad anti-Semitic racist people.
Yeah. And I mean, when I saw this first pop up, in the Trump inauguration, I said to myself, wait a minute, this was a contrived situation. Again, big money behind it, like the migrant march. And okay, so these folks who are marching, they're not even going to give the guy a week,
right?
Or 2 weeks.
Right.
They don't even respect the election enough and the people who did vote for Donald Trump enough to just say, well, yeah, let's just see how he does. I mean, I did that with Barack Obama. I mean, I was right in the sense that I thought he would run to the left on his policies.
Right.
But
I did that
with
Obama. Yeah. I said he is now our president, and we owe it to our president to support him in the things that we can support and give him time to show who he's going to be.
It all goes back to the same thing, whether it's Me Too or any other, no due process.
So
nothing.
Teresa Shook is the woman who started it. She's from Hawaii, and I think she's probably a decent person that I don't agree with, you know, politically. I don't know. I don't know that much about her, but she seems like she's probably a likable, normal human being. She's been calling for the end of the Women's March or for the chairs to excuse themselves because it's turned into a Frankenstein. And she said it did, you know, before the first march, she saw deep hatred, racism, and anti-Semitism. And, Bill, we're now seeing it in Congress. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
So you're giving this woman a pass, and I'm not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because one of the first things that happened in the Women's March is that any pro-life woman was banned from marching.
Right, but she was not. They took it from her.
No, she was.
Before.
She was in the. She was involved with that.
Was she?
And so once I saw that fascistic.
Yeah.
Word of the day. That fascistic proclamation, saying even if you agree with us, Women's March people, that we don't like the Republicans, if you are pro-life, you can't march with us. That was the end of them for me.
Yeah.
That was it. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So if you look at it, it's not an organization that I believe commands respect. And I think it's done now. When Kirsten Gillibrand won't show up, you know you have a problem.
It's real. It's a deadly curse now. I mean, and you look at all the magazines and everybody who said these were the leaders of the year and the best leaders in the world, and this movement was going to change the world. And they never stopped to look at the bad seeds that were being planted and who was planting them inside the organization.
Yeah.
You know, they called us.
There's a great future in that. I don't think Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is going to be there either.
You think she's a burnout? She will.
No, I think that she, and I have to.
Oh, you mean she won't be there?
She won't show up at the march.
Okay.
Because she's got that tag, too.
Yeah.
That anti-Semitic tag. I don't think that's fair. I haven't seen any evidence that she is that. But she's not going to be there. But I she amuses me. I really think that I want more of her rather than less.
We are saying the same thing. She's the best thing that could happen. Make her the face.
But I like Tulsi, too.
Yes.
I like Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think these women, they should go out and they should say whatever they want to say.
Yep.
And Americans should evaluate it on whether it's good for the country or
exactly
not. But certainly
right.
They're sprightly. Is that a good word? I'm sprightly. Beck is sprightly. Stu, I'm not so sure about. and they inject some energy into the discourse.
So let's talk about, however, for instance, the representative from Minnesota, who is saying really anti-Semitic things. At what point, Bill, do
is this the one that said MF or to about Trump?
There's two.
No.
Yeah, two recent.
No.
One of them was that, and then there was another one who was talking, had tweets about
this
how
is
Israel
the Muslim
was evil.
Lady?
Yes, two,
yeah, this is a Muslim,
two separate. Yeah,
yeah, but, two separate. One I'm talking about from Minnesota is the one who said that Israel, how come, you know, the mask is coming off, and how come more people can't see how evil Israel is, blah, blah, blah.
And this is the Muslim lady. She's a Muslim,
yes,
right?
Yes, she's the first hijab-wearing member of Congress.
And she got sworn in on a Koran, right?
Yeah, I think
believe.
So, yes.
Okay. So what do you want me to say about her? I mean,
no, I don't want to say about
like
her.
She's running as a stealth candidate. She's campaigning in
right.
her Muslim garb, and
correct.
They elected her. So
here's what
you're going to say bad things about Israel.
Here's what I'm saying. I know people who have given a lot of money to Democrats, and many of them are Jewish. And they started saying during the Clinton campaign with Keith Ellison around, they started saying then, you know what, this party has gone so extreme and they are now becoming anti-Semitic. At what point do you think they lose their Jewish support?
Never. Every poll says the same thing, that liberal Jewish Americans prioritize their ideology above the welfare of Israel. Every poll.
No, but there's
the
a difference.
Thing.
Wait. There's
How
a
long
difference.
Has this been going on?
There's a difference between Israel and, you know, Jews are animals.
Okay. I mean, look. Once you get into that kind of
The women's march. The women's march. They're having a conversation, and one of them says, "It's you people, you Jews. You have all the money and all the power in the world." I mean, we've seen where that goes.
I don't want to generalize about Jewish Americans, but I have looked at those polls, and unless it's so blatant, and the Women's March is, the Hollywood moguls that give a lot of money who are Jewish people, they say, look, my ideology is more important than the security of Israel, because Donald Trump's been Israel's best friend. And
right.
they despise Donald
right.
Trump.
And
and Barack Obama was, you know, according to most Israelis, not a good thing
yeah.
or a good leader for Israel. Yet the Jewish left loved Barack Obama. So I think it's pretty clear.
At what point do the American Democrats, the voters, the regular voters, go, you know what, I mean, the people who are at the top of the party now are just getting so extreme. I'm just not with this.
That's an excellent question. When's the tipping point for moderate Democrats, particularly out of the urban centers? There is no tipping point in New York City and San Francisco and Seattle.
Right.
All you got to do is walk around those cities and look and see what's happened under far-left governorship. And apparently they don't even care about that. If there are people on your front lawn injecting heroin, it's society's fault. I'll just step around them. So I don't think there is a tipping point in some precincts. But in others, you got to feel that it's getting close when you're saying, hey, I want 70% of your money, and when you die, I want to take every single thing you have. Is that okay with the Democratic Party, with the rank and file? I don't know. I mean,
it was during FDR, all the way to Kennedy.
But it's a different world.
Then. I know. One last question. How does the president fare in the next week on the border and shutdown?
I don't know, but I'm angry because I was going to go with Nancy Pelosi on her trip. Did you know that?
I know. That was so fun.
Nancy had called a couple of nights ago and said, Phil, you know, it's so long, the flight. I need stimulating conversation. Mm-hmm. I need a personality like you on board. Mm-hmm. I can't sit next to Adam Schiff for 8 hours.
Yeah, right.
You got to come.
Right.
So I said, sure, Nancy, I'll go. It's a government run free, right? All everything paid, hotel, meals. Yes. We're not going to pay the air traffic controllers or the TSA, but we'll have all that stuff. So when Donald Trump, who's just the meanest, isn't he? What a meanie. When he canceled the trip, I was all packed. I had Uber ready to take me to the airport, and now I can't go. Mm-hmm. So it's just an outrage, this whole government shutdown and the meanness on Pennsylvania Avenue. And, you know, I told Nancy, look, maybe we just fly commercial to Cancun. I don't know.
Oh, I would pay money. I'd pay large sums of money for you sitting in a beach chair next to Nancy Pelosi where she could
next
not
week
get
on
up.
This. Ask me about my one and only face to face with Nancy Pelosi next week. Okay. It is hysterical.
Okay.
Happened inside the White House.
All right.
But anyway, the government shutdown is a farce. It's a fraud.
Will it still be going on when I talk to you next week?
I hope so, because I really want to tell this story about the meeting in a while.
All right. Thank you, Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. You can subscribe and watch him every night. Get the No Spin News at BillO'Reilly.com.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I want to talk to an angel mom here, and I have struggled with the last interview we did because I can't imagine anything worse than losing a child. Can't. I've had two of my daughters, my oldest and my youngest, in the hospital this week. One was in the emergency room, and the other one has been in the hospital and probably going to be there for about 10 days about brain surgery. And I just don't know how I would live. And I don't know how I would live if somebody violently took my child. But these stories have to be told because this is really, truly what the shutdown is about. This is about, I don't care about the wall. I really don't. I just want whatever is most effective so we know who's here and we have some law and order. Sabine Durden is an angel mom. She is actually an immigrant herself. She is a legal immigrant and she is from Germany. Sabine, welcome.
Thank you, Glenn, for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. And I'm sorry it's on these circumstances. And, you know, we're going to talk about things. And please feel free to say, I can't go there anymore. But, Sabine, when did you come to the United States and why?
I was married to a U.S. Army soldier. We met in Germany. 2 years, got married, had Dominic. He was born in Germany. That's why he earned the name German Chocolate. And his dad was black, so that was appropriate for him to call himself. And then we got orders to come to America in 19, The dates, sometimes the years.
Whatever. It's been a while, though.
It's been a long time. And we came over and we had orders. And I had to fill out a lot of paperwork, even though I was married to a service member. Signed paperwork that I would never receive any government assistance. I had to have money, sponsors, medical examination, the whole nine yards, just to come over with my American husband and my child.
So you get here, and you're raising your son, and he's how old in July of 2012?
30 years old.
He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
He's in California.
We're in California. Yeah. No, he was never married, has no kids, and he was my only child.
Tell me what happened.
At 5:45 in the morning, my son was on his way to work on his motorcycle. He was working for the Riverside Sheriff's Department as a 911 dispatcher. And this illegal criminal with two felonies, one deportation, two DUIs, the last one 5 weeks before he killed my son, he received probation again, turned his unregistered and uninsured little truck in front of my son and hit him so hard at 5:45 a.m. July 12, 2012, that it killed him instantly and then threw him into a wall on the sidewalk. That was the end of my family right there.
So you, as an immigrant, you obviously don't hate immigrants.
No.
You come over and you do it the right way. And this guy, who not only is here illegally, he had already been deported, correct?
Yes, correct.
He returns a second time illegally.
Correct.
He has a criminal record.
Of course.
And the state of California is doing nothing about it because it's a sanctuary in California.
Well, at that time, it wasn't a sanctuary state, but I found out Riverside acted like a sanctuary city because the judge and the DA knew the offender, and they caught him two times with the armed robbery and grand theft. They had him in front of them with their first DUI. They gave him probation, and then he was caught drunk driving again without a license, and they gave him probation again. So they had four chances that I know of. There might be more. I didn't want to even dig anymore.
So wait, he armed robbery.
Yes.
And two DUIs. What else was?
And grand theft auto.
Deported. Right. And each time he's brought in for DUI, they just give him.
No license.
No license. They give him probation.
Probation. Of course. None of us would get that privilege.
What did he was charged with vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah, misdemeanor, vehicular manslaughter without gross negligence. And the judge made a deal with him and told me in court, I wish I would have known more about this case because I would have given him a harsher sentence. But because I gave him my word, I have to stick with that and honor my word. So he's going to get 9 months, 5 year probation, and the guy served 35 days. Yeah. If that isn't a slap in the face and ripping my heart out again.
Is he still here in America?
No. He was, while we had the hearing, because the DA talked me into not having a trial, I'm in the biggest shock of my life. I didn't even know who I was anymore. He got to bail out for $10,000 cash and was free to go. We never thought he would come back, but he was so arrogant because he's been getting away with every crime he committed. He came back. And so the only time I saw him in handcuffs was the day of the hearing when he was found guilty of the misdemeanor. They led him away. And because I found my voice, I got louder, they took him to a detention center, but they wouldn't tell me where. An ICE agent called me anonymously and told me they had enough of this. they knew Dominic, they heard of him, and they told me he was in Adelanto in a detention center about an hour and a half from my house. And for a year and a half, my fiancé Anthony and I went there every week, just sitting there letting them know, do not let this guy go. And now here comes the kicker, Glenn. An ICE agent that we befriended, and he had enough of this, told us that once in a while they get a note from the top, he only said from the top, that says open the back door. That means let him out. But because we sat there every week, they knew they better not. And he was deported a year and a half later. And we have good sources because Dominic was friends with the police department, fire department, SWAT.
911.
That he's back. I know I'm going to see his face again, Glenn, in the news with another victim. I just know it because he never apologized. He never owned it. He told the judge through a translator, which later he spoke fluent English. Of course, that miracle happened. Mm-hmm. He said, God gives life. God takes life. I was only on my way to work. He's going to do it again.
Sabine, I'm sorry for your loss. Talk to people who are that are maybe, you know, not for this shutdown and not for the border discussion that we're having right now. Talk to them parent to parent. What would you say to those people who are saying, we don't need all of this?
I would tell them, yes, we do, because when we are at home, we lock our doors. We want to make sure our kids are safe and grow up and protect that America and our government protects its citizens. And if we don't do this now, there will be many more that will go that will have to go to a morgue like I did and kiss their child for one last time. And as a parent, your mind won't let you go there. The pain, the agony, because it's forever. But we need this protection. And if they don't think it's good for Americans, okay, let's go to the other side. These families, the kids that are used, the sex trafficking, all this will come to a stop because it protects both sides. Because people are lied to. They're dragging their kids or somebody else's kids just to get in here. Well, if we have a wall and functioning border security that we deserve and we need, and that was talked about by the Democrats for so long until they switched a bit. It will keep their family safe. You'd never have to go through this.
Sabina, thank you so much. Sabina Durden, you can find her website at domhugs.org, domhugs.org.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I kind of just realized that the position I'm in, I can talk to newsmakers, I can talk to people, I can talk to legends, and they'll talk to me, and I can record their journey, and I can hear it firsthand. And I've been friends with Pat Boone. Now, if you don't know who Pat Boone is, and I thought I knew who Pat Boone was until I started doing my homework. Pat Boone sold more, had more hits and sold more songs and albums than Elvis in the 1950s. Okay? They were competitors. Mm. He was the clean-cut guy and swivel hips. And in 1950, he had one more gold record than Elvis did. That's incredible.
Yeah.
At the same time, he went on to do so many other things. At 23, he had his own show on ABC, television show. It was wildly successful. He has done, I talked to him and said, wait, do you remember when you first met Elvis? Oh, yeah. Do you remember Jerry Lee Lewis? Oh, yeah. The story on Jerry Lee Lewis and the talent and what happened with Jerry Lee Lewis is amazing. So I talked to Pat Boone about his life. In fact, here he is on meeting Elvis. You know what? I'm going to skip that because I don't think we have time. We did a podcast with him. And if you're a history lover, this is a guy who is unbelievable, has been at the front lines since 1950, you know, really until today, but he was, you know, big still in the 90s. He had a comeback.
Yeah.
He's done every genre and charted top 10 in every genre.
Did he do heavy metal in the 90s?
He did. It's crazy. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. But I did a podcast with him, and I wanted to play this because his wife just passed away just last weekend.
This is after you recorded this interview.
After we recorded the interview. And I just want to play. I just love that he talks about his wife quite a bit. And he mentioned his wife at one point, and his eyes welled up. And I said, stop. Don't you listen, Pat Boone, talking about his wife just before she died.
You know, I was going to be a school teacher, I thought. Shirley and I, when we married at 19, I had decided this is what I was going to do. Just mentioning Shirley right now. But she thought she was marrying school teacher preacher. Because there was a little headline in the Nashville Tennessean, because we were both known in Nashville for singing. She was the daughter of Red Foley, the great country singer, Hall of Fame.
Can you stop for just a second?
Yeah.
I love how much you love your wife.
Oh, if you knew her, well, everybody loves Mama Shirley, we call her. But, you know, we were childhood sweethearts and high school sweethearts. And we committed the headline in the Nashville paper, a little squib, we have it. Singers wed, devote lives to God. This was our goal. And I thought she was so happy because, you know, she had had enough of show business and country music. Her dad, Red Foley, traveling all the time and a lot of drinking and stuff going on. And now she's going to be married to a school teacher. Sedate, calm life.
Yeah.
And two or three kids and a picket fence and regular schedule and so on.
Little did that go off the rails?
Of us, no.
How did that go off the rails?
Well,
it's a fascinating interview. Before we went in to stage 19 to record that, he was in the makeup room. And I said, Pat, how's your wife? Because she'd been sick for a while. And he said, she's okay. I'm praying for a miracle, but, you know, it's time. And he said, but I read to her every day. We sit and we talk. And he said, we still have kissing sessions. And he said, we've always loved just kissing each other. And he's one of these guys who had a marriage that started in the 1950s and ended at death do us part, except I don't believe that and neither does he. And it's, there's something to be said about having a great marriage that you work on. And you'll hear it in his story. I tried to do this for the record. Pat Boone talking about the people that he has known, the people he has worked with. I mean, you name them.
And he even talked about feeling having an issue with going on a show and, or is it a movie where he had to kiss
Shirley Jones
in the movie. And I mean, you know, again, we're talking back in the day, the kisses that went on back in the day in movies were not like kisses like we think of them today in movies.
Right.
And he didn't want to do it.
Well, he didn't want to do it. He did, actually. He said, I did want to do it. I just wanted to ask my wife first because we hadn't talked about it. Is it okay in this movie if I kiss somebody? Because it wasn't in the script. And it got blown out of proportion that he was a religious freak. And he said, it wasn't religion. It was respect for my wife.
Yeah.
I know this might sound, if you don't know who Pat Boone is, or you're like, oh, well, he's an old fuddy-duddy. It may not sound like an interesting podcast, but Stu.
Oh, it was fascinating. I mean,
fascinating.
His memory is incredible.
Nuts.
He remembers details about every one of these things. And it's all the biggest, you know, stars.
It's like everybody.
But it's
I could bring up literally anyone. And he was like, oh, yeah, I knew him and we worked together on this. And I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. This podcast airs tomorrow. So grab
release
it.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. Release tomorrow. You can grab it wherever you grab your podcasts. But it's from Stage 19, Glenn Beck podcast. Pat Boone, it is definitely worth the listen. And we pray for Pat and his family. at this time.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.